Today's sales professionals are challenged to establish trusting relationships with the right prospects. They face buyers that choose to self-educate and not engage with a salesperson until they're ready to begin the buying process. With social selling, sales professionals use social networks and digital content to build their professional brand, their company's brand, and create experiences that enable buyers to buy. Welcome to the Linking into Sales podcast, the social selling podcast hosted by Martin Brossman and Greg Heyer. Let's start linking into sales.
Hello, this is Martin Brossman
and Greg Heyer,
and we're show number 76, Linking into Sales.
Yep. And we are on site today with Lindsay Boggs.
Hi.
Thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you for bringing us into your home, which is where you work out of.
So, yes.
Green Central.
Yeah. So if you haven't heard of Lindsay yet, she was actually, she had a very incredible experience at Sales Connect and actually got to do a couple of free throws with Shaq, which is pretty awesome. Not only that, also raised, what,
$15,000?
$10,000. I raised for $5,000. That's right. So $10,000 for the Boys and Girls Club of America, right? Okay, so the whole thing. But also, she lives right here in our backyard, here in Raleigh, North Carolina. Actually, North Raleigh, I guess is kind of the area.
Closer to my backyard.
Closer to yours, not mine. I'm still down in the farms. But thank you very much for bringing this in and allowing us an opportunity to talk with you and get your experience of what you went through and how you got there, because it's kind of an interesting story.
Yeah.
And I think that a lot of our sales listeners, they want to hear about it as well. I think what's unique about the story is that you're in sales and you have a sales background, and you've been able to make so many strides in what you're doing, from where you've worked previously to where you're working now. So I think sharing those kind of success stories is always awesome. So
the social selling journey to Sales Connect is what we're going to learn about.
Absolutely.
The backstory.
Yeah, so you know, tell us a little bit about you and where you came from, and
sure.
I'll let you have the mic.
So the big story is that I graduated with an opera degree, and that soon didn't work out after I graduated, having bills and everything like that to pay for, but I soon realized I wanted to get into sales. So fast forward a couple years, I moved to North Carolina after living in Dallas for a while, and I had worked on getting into Bronto for several months, and I was very, very persistent. Finally got my first interview after 9 months of trying, got my interview there, and eventually they ended up hiring me that day, and I started carrying a bag soon after with a quota. And I looked around and saw what everyone else was doing to hit numbers, and they were kind of below their numbers. So I said, okay, I'm going to try something different. And that's where my whole social selling expertise came into play. And so I just started toying around with LinkedIn, and I realized I was getting more meetings than everyone else. I was hitting my numbers, and second place to me was, 50% below where I was. So I was over 100. Second place was 58. So I decided, hey, I'm going to keep doing this LinkedIn thing. And eventually my manager came to me and said, hey, what are you doing differently? What's going on here? And I told her I'm using LinkedIn. This was back in 2011. So since then, now we have Sales Navigator, which is what I started last year when it was released. And this time last year, they had Sales Connect, their first show. And I had heard about it after the fact. So I didn't know in advance it was happening. I heard about it after the fact. And I made a mental note to be a speaker at the next year's conference. And I'm very goal-oriented. I'm very, focused. So I just made a goal, and that was my goal. I didn't know how I was going to get there, but I just realized I want to be a speaker. So the first step in all of that was I published my first article last December on how I went from opera into sales. So that was kind of a big hit. And then in May, I reached out to our account manager at LinkedIn and said, hey, I'm getting a 50% return on my in-mails. I think this would be a great story for you guys, especially for sales. And so they had me do a webinar. So that was the next step into getting to be a speaker. I did three webinars. I did one in Europe, one in Asia, and one here. And then after that, I wrote an article about that success with 50% return. And then by the time that had happened, I got so many views on LinkedIn with that report that they came to me and asked me to be a speaker. So it all worked out in the end.
Wow, that's great.
Interesting. So persistence pays.
Yes.
So keep on pushing.
Exactly.
So I guess along with that, if persistence does pay, what did that persistence look like?
The persistence looks like just continually contacting my account manager. Once they introduced me to the marketing team, I was consistently reaching out to them saying, hey, I have a new tidbit that's working on Sales Navigator. You should write about it. And so they did a blog post on something I wrote about. But just being front and, you know, being front and center in front of them all the time. So continually
nurturing them. But you also found value that added to their world.
Mm-hmm.
And absolutely. Kept bringing it forward.
Yeah.
You know, here's a potential story where you can become a hero.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And in essence, you were social selling yourself for doing this. So
yes.
Even if it was a speaking engagement that was unpaid,
mm-hmm.
it was still you were still using social selling skills in order to
absolutely.
In order to reach out and achieve your goal.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So,
absolutely.
So that's excellent. So it's providing value, mm-hmm. right? This is something we frequently talk about with the audiences. You can't just go out there and pitch all the time. You have to bring value and help them enhance what they're doing every day in their job.
Yes.
Right? So
exactly.
Continue to move forward. That's awesome. So mm-hmm. how did it, now, like I mentioned earlier, you had shot a few free throws with Shaq. So how did that happen? Because I know you had reached out, like, I saw a couple updates that had come out on that you had shared on LinkedIn a few weeks before Connect, and you said you were going to be, you know, you went out, got your hair done, you were all getting ready to go, because which you should, you know, I'm glad, you know, you had the opportunity to go and do that. But when did you find out, and mm-hmm. then what was kind of like the roller coaster after that?
Sure. So I found out, I want to say in August, that I was selected to be a speaker.
Okay.
So before that, we had gone through a couple dry runs just to see how I am on stage, how I am in front of people, that kind of thing. We did a webinar and that worked out really well. And then they told me I'm a speaker. So then from there, they had a very diligent 6-week schedule of, we're doing dry run number one here, dry run number two here. We need this outline here. So it was very, very scheduled, which I'm very type A. Mm-hmm. So it's very good for me to have the visual of when everything's happening. So dry runs went well. Obviously, they're never as good as the actual performance. And being a musician, I know that to be fact. You know, dress rehearsals are never as good as the performance. So everything went well. And then my flight to go to Vegas was on a Tuesday. And the Sunday before, I'm packing. I'm getting ready for the week. I've got all my outfits. And I get an email from the person heading up the entire show saying, hey, Lindsay, we just discovered that you have the highest SSI score, social selling index score, in the entire conference. How would you feel about throwing some free throws with Shaq? And my face, I mean, when I was reading the email, I remember, I'll never forget where I was. I was in my son's room reading the email, playing on the floor with him. And I looked at it and I, you know, clicked back again just to make sure it's actually, is this really? Okay, this is to me. Okay.
Right.
So I ran to the kitchen and I said to my husband, I was like, just read this. And I just watched his face go from like, you know, terrifying,
right,
because I don't play sports. I never have. I've never played basketball.
Right.
Never. So he just basically said, oh my, good luck. and then he followed up with, well, you're not going to do it, are you? And I said, of course I am. I'm Lindsay Boggs.
Right,
I don't care.
Right.
If I miss, I'll find a way to make it work.
Yeah.
And he's just like, I don't want you to be like embarrassed for yourself.
Right.
And I'm like, Michael, I've got this. So he went outside and he moved the car. And I grabbed my high heels because I have to be completely in performance mode.
Right.
And I grabbed my high heels and I went out with the basketball and I shot some free throws. And out of the five I shot, I got one in. I was like, okay, 20%.
Yeah.
I'm good.
Yeah.
And then we got on the plane shortly after. And, you know, that was the last, it became kind of the last thing on my mind because I was really focused on my 45-minute session, which I've worked so hard for the past year.
Yeah.
And I just kind of went in with the assumption I'm going to miss the free throws, but they told me regardless they're going to donate money. So it's not like I had to get them in. If I got them in, it'd be fun. But so that's how the free throw thing happened.
Awesome.
Yeah.
And I got to watch the replay on it. As a matter of fact, what we'll do at this point here for the video watchers is we'll go in and cut in someone's there. So
Nice. Hang
on 1 second.
Something a little bit different here. So in order to make this, actually we need one more ingredient to make this work. Did anybody remember to pack a basketball hoop? We have a basketball hoop? Yes. We happen to have a basketball hoop. Bring in the basketball hoop.
Can you shoot?
We'll see.
Okay.
Yeah, the way this is gonna work, Lindsay, we're going to take you to, how are your free throw shooting skills?
better than mine.
All right, we're going to give you two shots to drop a free throw. The good news is you're standing next to perhaps what is one of the greatest free throw shooters in the history of the NBA.
Wake up, you're dreaming.
All right,
you got the flow?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's pretty good.
All right.
Wait, maybe later
I'll
take the picture.
All right. So what we're going to do, we're going to go down here. You're going to take two shots. If you drop one of them, we're going to donate $5,000 to the Boys and Girls Club of America. If you miss both, we're going to have a lot of unhappy boys and girls. All right? No pressure. All right, come on down. And we'll see what we can do.
What if she makes both?
Do we need to double the money?
Yeah. Yes.
All right.
You know what I'll do? If she makes both, I'll give five.
All right. There we go. There we go. Is that how it works? We got the free throw line. We've got to make this somewhat competitive. We got a free throw line right there.
Is it deflated?
You've got to concentrate here.
Okay.
Stay loose.
Okay, so that was great. So, as we do this artificial cutback, it was actually pretty incredible because I was watching it. You know, unfortunately, I didn't watch it live. I would have watched it streaming, but I think I was driving home and watching YouTube streaming driving home.
Yes.
Not cool.
Not good.
So, but I got to watch it back, and I had not heard what happened. So I was just more like, what's going to happen? And then you made both shots.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't remember it.
Yeah, right.
I was just in performance mode. And when I got the first one in, I was just like, no way.
Right.
You know, I just couldn't believe it. And then when he gave me the ball again, I'm like, okay, if I just did it once, I can do it again. Right. And I did. And I just could not believe it. And his hug was so awesome afterwards. And he whispered to me after, he's like, you did better than I ever could. So
that was known for his free. No, he wasn't.
And so. Then after that, the speakers got to hang out. There were about 12 people that got to hang out with him for about 45 minutes, and we got professional pictures with him, which I get back next week. And he signed the basketball that I threw, so nice. I'll always have that.
That's awesome.
That's outstanding. Well, I just want to footnote, you know, the thing was is your willingness to take a chance to fail.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, to me, another quality of top salespeople.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're go, okay. And you worked out in your head slightly, what would I do if I fail?
Yeah.
So it wasn't just reckless.
Right.
So I think there's a little extra lesson in here for mm-hmm. the sales professional.
Absolutely.
Okay, if I fail, what will I do?
Mm-hmm.
Got a story. Got it.
Yep.
You know, no one died. No blood was lost.
Right.
I'm good.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And so few people don't succeed because they aren't willing to make enough calculated risks that mm-hmm. let them fail.
Absolutely.
To learn from it.
Absolutely.
So I think there's another little story in that that's pretty important for sales professionals.
Mm-hmm.
Excellent. So you've been having a lot of fun since then,
mm-hmm.
sharing your stories and sharing your experiences with there. So thank you very much for doing that because
sure.
it's been kind of interesting following the after story.
Yeah.
So maybe are you going back next year?
Yes, that's on my list of things to do. Absolutely.
Well, our goal is to join you.
Our goal is to be out there next year. Yeah. Actually, maybe we'll find out more.
Arrange families and everything else. Taking care of my mother and his kids.
All right. So. Fantastic. I think that's awesome. Hopefully, you know, listeners, go back, re-listen to that. I think there's a lot to learn from the experience that Lindsay has actually gone through here. So next, your presentation that you had presented, you talked about 45 minutes about how you were getting responses from your in-mail. Mm-hmm. So I know that this is for anyone who wasn't attending, and I've been watching the YouTube channel. They haven't put up your
speech. Not yet.
They haven't talked.
Next week.
They put up London Connect, but they haven't put up.
Yes.
Get that.
It was so good they wanted to leave it for last.
Apparently.
They're leaving everyone's for next week. Yeah.
I see.
Okay. Yeah. So this is by the time somebody actually listens to this, and it might be about the time that goes up. So check the show notes. We're going to put a link in there to the video as soon as it becomes available, even if it means it comes out after you're done listening to the podcast. We'll go ahead and re-update the link here. But mm-hmm. what were some of the takeaways from your discussion about getting a response from InMail? Because getting a 50% response from anything is really good.
Yeah.
So usually people are like, well, 1 out of 10, you know, but you were getting 5 50, out of 10.
Yeah.
So,
mm-hmm.
So what were some of your takeaways from that?
The biggest takeaway that I left my audience with was the personalization factor. I think a lot of people go in and blindly send an InMail and copy and paste from a previous InMail and change the name and change the company name and hit send. And then they say, oh, well, InMails aren't working for me. So I think the biggest part is being personal, having a subject line that's personal, finding something in their profile that you relate to, whether it's that they're a Cowboys fan and you are too, or whether it's they went to the same college as you, or even if they went to a college that you can't stand, sometimes I play that up. I went to Florida State. If I see somebody went to University of Florida, I'll say something cheeky in the subject line to get them to open it, and it works. Mm-hmm. So I think finding that personalization thing in the subject line is key. And then going into the InMail, you have to be personal when you open up the InMail too. So finding something that you can relate to, whether it's the company they work for. If I'm prospecting Toys R Us, I might talk about my great experience I had with them a couple weeks ago shopping for my daughter. So just find that commonality with somebody and make it real. When somebody opens an InMail, you're a person. They see you're a person. When somebody opens up an email, you're just lindsay.boggs@gmail. And you don't have a face, you don't have anything except an email address. So I think just finding the realization that you're a person, it's harder to say no to a person than an email.
That's excellent. Now, did you have much experience with also doing introductions in LinkedIn, or is that something you mainly focused on in mail?
Because
that's
focused,
another place people mm-hmm. get stuck.
Yeah.
You know, what do I do with the introduction?
Yeah, I typically just work on the in mail side. When I see that there is a mutual connection, I will ask that mutual connection, hey, Greg, do you mind if I mention your name? I'm trying to get into this contact's inbox. Do you mind? And if Greg says yes, then I will absolutely use their name in the subject line saying referred by Greg, whoever it may be. So that's how I typically use introductions. But most of my focus has been on InMail. And the other piece I left the audience knowing is the persistence factor. You can't just like I was persistent with Bronto for 9 months to hire me, 9 months for the first interview. You have to be persistent with your prospects too. And just because it's an InMail doesn't mean you can just send one and run. You have to send, my team's average is between 4 and 7 to get the first response. So my average, I think, is 4 right now. So it takes 4 InMails. But what people don't realize is if you go in the sent folder and you resend the InMail with another context above it saying, hey, Greg, just want to see if you got the note below, it doesn't count as another InMail.
Mm. Oh,
a lot of people don't know that. And once you get them to respond, even if it's a no, you get that credited back to your account.
I see.
So a lot of people don't know that.
Yeah, I knew that if they responded with a no, mm-hmm. you would get that back, but I wasn't aware that you could resend it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a clever little trick. I don't think a lot of folks do know about that. I think
so go
right.
to the sent folder and find the original InMail and then reply to it again and just say, hey, Greg, just checking to see if you got the InMail below. And that does not count you another InMail.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's good.
That's a great tip.
Because it's like the open line of communication. You're just trying to keep it going.
Yep, exactly. And then it'll show your persistence.
So unfortunately, I don't have any InMail. I usually don't use InMail to reach out to folks.
Mm-hmm.
I just connect with them. Mm-hmm. but with the new Messenger,
mm-hmm.
Has that affected how you're sending InMail or anything like that?
The new Messenger, not particularly.
Okay.
No,
because
I have my regular LinkedIn account and then I have my Sales Navigator account, and not much has changed. For the good or the worse for the Messenger side of things.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, do you just keep track of them inside that, or do you put it into your own CRM?
I put it into Salesforce. So I'm a data person, and I want to know how many InMails it takes. And if I don't have the data in Salesforce, then I'm not going to know.
Okay.
So after myself or my team sends an InMail, we go into Salesforce and log it manually that we sent an InMail. And we actually have a drop-down for InMails in our system.
All right. So when you're, how are you tracking, and that might lead into this particular question, is that are you tracking social selling activities inside of Salesforce?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay, so are you looking at, if you make contact with somebody via LinkedIn, are you selecting a specific lead source for that?
I am selecting prospecting through LinkedIn, yes. Okay. So, I have a lead source and lead source detail.
I got you. Mm-hmm. Okay, so it's, and I take it that you're sales management, aren't you?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you have a dashboard, all that set up? Perfect.
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
So what is, as someone in sales management, mm-hmm. what's your dashboard usually contain for social selling metrics? What are you looking at?
Sure, I want 10 emails per day. We only get 30 with Sales Navigator, but because our return rate's really high, 30 typically lasts us at least the first 21 days of the month. I just got word from one of the people on my team that he just ran out of emails today, and it's, the 22nd?
Mm-hmm.
So pretty good. He has 8 days or 9 days left to wait for them to recycle through and get his other 30, but hopefully he'll get some back. But as far as my dashboard, I look for metrics around emailing, and the emails are always in tandem with the in-mail. So our typical cadence is on a Monday, let's say, to keep it easy. On a Monday, we send an in-mail. And then on the Wednesday after that, we'll send an email. And the subject line will say, check your LinkedIn inbox. Or something nice. Like, did you get my in-mail? Or did you get my message on LinkedIn? And then we hyperlink it to our profile. And that's kind of validation that they got it if we see them on our profile. It's kind of validation. So we're still social selling, but it's through email because we're trying to hit them in both places. Then we also do calls. I would say calling is probably the least of the activity on my team just because we've seen so much success elsewhere. But we still do call. And sometimes we'll call, leave a voicemail, and send an in-mail saying, check your voicemail. And then when we see validation, they're on our profile. Oh, okay, he got our voicemail and he got our in-mail. That's a good sign. And then we just keep working them through the system. I mean, sometimes it takes 16 touch points to get the first meeting. But once you get that first meeting, you're in. So it's worth the time. Okay. Just be persistent.
Persistence. Mm-hmm. Persistence is key.
Yes.
So too many times I've had somebody send me an email saying, hey, we want to help you with lead generation.
That's
Hey, have you gotten your email addresses or some other, immediately after either prior to connecting, they'll do that, or even after connecting. So I watch out for the folks now that say lead generation with email.
Sure.
And I don't accept those invites to connect. So if you're listening, personalize the message. So when you're sending out, you're personalizing that message.
Mm-hmm.
And then when do you switch gears? Cause we know that there's a transition point that happens from social selling
mm-hmm.
to your traditional sales process or whatever your internal sales process mm-hmm. is. It may not be traditional. It could be a few other ways. But how do you know when to transition out of that into your own process?
So I would say after they agree on either email or in-mail to have a meeting, then if they say Tuesday at 3 works, then I put it on the calendar, my Google calendar for work. We have the phone call, and then from there on out, it's strictly email or calling.
Okay.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Very good. Very good. That incredible. Hopefully, folks go back and re-listen to that as well. We should probably break these into segments and tell you what parts you need to actually go listen to. All right. So now, when you're prospecting on LinkedIn, do you have tips? Prior to sending an email, or how to figure out your prospect? Because you work for a SmarterHQ. Mm-hmm. Which is email? No, hold on. I know what it is. I'm drawing a blank right now.
It's okay. We're basically marketing automation, so we enhance
for
your
right?
Email okay. marketing platforms. We enhance them. We're an engine for them.
Gotcha. Mm-hmm. Okay. So if somebody wants to put somebody on a specific email journey or something like that,
and abandonment is a big
cart
thing
abandonment.
That we do.
Okay, mm-hmm. cool.
Exactly.
All right, but primarily in e-commerce. Is
yes.
that okay?
Retailers are a big focus.
Okay.
Yep.
Perfect. Which kind of makes sense that some of the folks that were attending Connect this year. I noticed that there was a couple of basketball teams there too. Now, maybe they weren't there for Shaq, but it seems like...
It is true, yeah.
Because, they have a retail perspective too because they're selling tickets.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe do you guys have any basketball customers?
Not yet.
Not maybe... hopefully, maybe on the next one they will.
So yeah. I'll come and shoot hoops with you.
Maybe you should come to that basketball game. You left your tickets in the cart. But identifying... what sort of tools are you using, whether it's LinkedIn or mm-hmm. I know you, a few months ago or a little while ago, started to get active on Twitter again.
Mm-hmm.
What are you using right now to prospect, or what are you encouraging your team to prospect with?
Yeah, so Sales Navigator is the first thing.
Mm-hmm.
Second thing within Sales Navigator is the lead builder function. So our reps are territory based. So I have each rep working in a different territory. And with lead builder, you can build out the actual zip codes and the actual cities that you want to prospect. Then LinkedIn does all the hard work for you and sends you updates. If a prospect leaves from, let's say, JCPenney and goes to Tempur-Pedic, I get that email notification. So that way I'm not consistently having to go to his page every day to see if he's still there. I just get automated email. So that's the first thing. Researching their profile is also key to understand what their background was before. Figure out any commonalities, like I already mentioned. Figure out mutual connections. That's huge. If you can use the word mutual connection and it's legit, use it, because people buy from people they like ultimately. And so having that mutual person is really, really helpful.
Okay, cool. And then are you using Twitter at all at this point?
I am a beginner. Okay. You know, the crawl, walk, run approach.
Yes. You have to come to our breakfast.
I'm a crawler at the moment. Just because the Shaq thing, it got me on Twitter. But I really am still focused on LinkedIn for myself at the moment. Gotcha. Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Cool. Well, maybe then next year we'll come back and we'll talk about it.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, we have a
power
breakfast.
Power user in the works.
We have a breakfast coming up next month.
Yes, we do.
Okay. So.
Yep. Yeah.
Good to know.
Yep. Said. Well, very good. Any other suggestions for what you're
doing? Yeah, I would say the other thing that the audience took away was, when you're thinking about who you're prospecting, think about them as a person and how it is to reach them. So for me personally, I'm in meetings a lot that go from 1 to 2. So think about that, you know, 155 to 158 time frame on sending the in-mail, because they're going between meetings. That's another key that I've taught my team, and it's worked out pretty well. And also keep it one swipe. So when you look at your iPhone or your Android, think about somebody on the move. I travel a lot. I'm in airports a lot. So if I see an email from you or an in-mail, I want to be able to see it with one swipe. If you send me something that I keep having to swipe to see what company you're with and whatever, it's just not as effective. So think about the person you're targeting, what their lifestyle is like, and tailor it to them.
That's excellent.
So it sounds, when I hear some of this, it sounds very much like if you have a background in email marketing, that this... you know, this approach can be highly effective for you. So, but that doesn't, not to say that all the salespeople need to go out there and get some email marketing skills, but it probably would help. But it just from, well, the fact that your company does email marketing automation and, or at least assisting with that, that a lot of the skills that you have that you apply to your customers also applies to your techniques that you're using inside for sales lead generation. So that's pretty amazing. It's amazing on these skills and how they can transfer from one job function to another job function, even if it is a crossover from marketing to sales or back and forth. So that's awesome.
When you gave your talk at the Sales Connect, what were some of the feedback of people that they found was most useful that you talked about? Did you get any?
Everyone's,
because that's always interesting.
Yeah, everyone's phone went up to take a picture of my slide on the actual visual of what a successful in-mail looks like. So when I showed that slide and I showed the subject line and the breakdown, everyone's phone went up for that. And then everyone else's phone also went up for subject lines when you don't have a commonality with somebody. So I think that was also really helpful. So figuring out, okay, I have nothing in common. He's a cat person. I'm a dog person. I can't even talk to this person. I have nothing in common with them. So finding out another way. And another way could be finding that they're in an article and quoting them in the subject line, because people love to talk about themselves. And if you're talking about a quote that they recently said, typically you'll get a response. So those were the two things. And then finally, the patience factor. So the three P's is what I teach my team. So there's the personalization, persistence, and patience. And patience and persistence don't typically go together, but they have to in sales, because you're not going to get the first kill the first time you send a note. You have to be patient, but you also have to be persistent in a professional manner.
Excellent.
Very good.
That's great. Also love that you noticed who wanted to take pictures of your slide.
Yes.
What a great new world of feedback. I mean, I've been speaking long enough. There were no cell phones in the beginning.
When the phones went up, I knew that I had something.
Okay, we got something they want.
Yeah, exactly.
Or it's complicated enough they can't figure it out yet.
Could be.
Very good. Yeah. Fantastic. Do you have anything else?
These are very valuable tips. And where would you recommend someone start? I hear a lot of background development of customer persona in the general sense and then specific. Is that right? Part of the marketing where mm-hmm. we're really building who our customer is mm-hmm. and then each one of us are narrowing it down to understand them at a one-to-one level.
Yes.
And where would you, any advice you'd get of starting with email, how to start out? You know, they're taking their first risk. And mm-hmm. obviously, if you, I mean, I've gotten some where I've just reported them, you know, where it's, this is spam. This mm-hmm. is just annoying spam.
Yeah.
So to minimize that, because LinkedIn does watch that. Even if you're paying and using it, mm-hmm. they'll lock you down if you start just praying and spraying with them.
I would say, I guarantee you, if you start sending personalized subject lines and personal notes, followed by the pitch on why your company is, going to help them, you will not go to spam. And I tell my team all the time, when you think about a LinkedIn profile, typically, I think 90%, I learned at the conference, 90% of the members have their LinkedIn account associated with their personal email account. So when you think about that, when you're sending an email, you're really reaching their personal inbox. And so why not be personal versus mm-hmm. when I'm emailing somebody at your work domain, I'm more work focused. Mm-hmm. So having the marketer, whoever you're prospecting, take the hat off and get into their personal LinkedIn account, treat it personal. And there's a 0% chance you're going into spam if you're that way.
That's a very, very good point, because we have a number of times we've just come up where people have asked, what email address do I put as my primary mm-hmm. email address on LinkedIn? And if it's 90% of using mm-hmm. their personal email address, mm-hmm. now you got to think frame of mind.
Yeah, and treat it as a personal note that you have access to the CMO of Best Buy's personal email address. You better make it personal and you better
and
make
worth
it
their
count.
Time.
Yes, yes,
you know,
exactly.
You have something of value in what it is and get to the point quick enough. Mm-hmm. So you got something personal, and then what's the point?
Right.
And what's the value? And why should they give any more attention to you?
Absolutely.
Right? That's clear. Mm-hmm. Excellent. That's what I've got. This is excellent.
Excellent. All right. Well, we'll go on and wrap up because we know you've got a meeting here just a little
absolutely.
Bit. So, but thank you very much for allowing us to come into your home and
sure.
record and make a mess and bring you on to the show for episode 75 here.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
76.
Sorry, 76. 76. Whoa.
Look, we reached 75.
Yeah, we're on our way fast. We're 100.
This completes. We've now had 75 episodes. So
amazing.
You're on 76, and it was great to have you live at your own house.
Yeah. Thanks for having me.
And we'll put in the follow-up. Maybe we could get one of those slides, too,
sure.
to add into the text.
Yep. Absolutely.
That'd be useful. We mentioned in other resources. Mm-hmm. And then they can find you on LinkedIn, of course.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm looking at right now with a beautiful picture of the hoop.
Yes.
What a great thing to put at the top of your LinkedIn. You earned it well.
Thank you.
Well, this is Martin Brossman.
And Greg Heyer. And you've been watching Linking Into Sales, your social selling podcast.